Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Hey everybody, I'm Zach.
And I'm Jesse.
You're watching Tessa Time News.
Episode 418.
On Now You Know.
So something that Zach and I have been noticing for a while, YouTube appears to be throttling our content. Now, I won't pretend to fully understand the YouTube algorithm, even YouTube claims that they don't, but you may have noticed that our subscriber base has not been growing in a good long while.
Yeah, we've gone from 333,000 subscribers to 336,000 subscribers in about 3 years, when it took less than 6 years to grow from zero to 300,000 previously.
Now, I get it. Tesla has been in a bit of a slump lately, by which I mean it hasn't 10x'd in a while. But even I, as a user of YouTube, have noticed that I don't seem to be in control of what I get to see on the platform anymore. It kind of feels like I will watch one video on some topic and then I'll be flooded on that specific topic for weeks. And I'm sure that it works to keep me glued to the YouTube platform for longer, but it's annoying that I can't seem to keep up with my favorite creators anymore.
We know that YouTube is fighting the likes of TikTok and Instagram for eyeball real estate, but much of the time it just feels like those platforms are leaking onto YouTube more and more.
Now, we're not the only channels feeling the heat these last few months, and I will also say that we've been seeing some demonetization rising its gnarly head for the first time in years and years. So it just kind of feels like everything's against us, which is annoying. But I don't know. I want to try and stay hopeful.
Yeah, and I just want you guys to know that like YouTube for a long while has been pushing more ads onto our show. And just recently, we kind of fought back and cut it to 2 ad breaks. So we hope you're enjoying that. It does mean that it cuts revenue for us, but we just think it's annoying to have so many ad breaks while you're trying to watch our show. So we're not entirely sure what to do. But if you just take a second to hit the like button, subscribe, and leave a comment.
Consider joining us on Patreon. Without your support, this news show wouldn't exist. Let's go on with the show.
So Tesla's head of AI, Ashok Elluswamy, said, "Who's ready for some ass?"
And Elon posted the fire emojis. What are they talking about?
Yeah, Doge Designer said, "Who named it ASS?" Yeah, of course, we're talking about actual smart summon. And Holmar's Catalog said, let me take a wild guess.
And Elon said, "Sexy A dollar sign dollar sign."
And Elon reposted Tesla North America saying, "Just like that, your car can navigate a busy parking lot without you in it." So yes, actual smart summon is here. There's tons of videos everywhere of people testing it out in parking lots. It seems to be doing a really good job of avoiding pedestrians and being safe, which is really good. It does seem to take a while, maybe being more cautious than most of us drivers would be, but I think caution over accidents is a good thing.
So what is the difference between actual smart summon and Smart Summon, because we've had Smart Summon since like, what, 2019, 2020-ish?
I think it's distance from you to the car. So I feel like you have to be, I forget what the distance actually was, but you seem to have to be in sight. Whereas here, a lot of times people were like, it was way across the parking lot. You could barely see what it was doing.
Interesting.
Now, I want to see some footage of people like walking along with their grocery cart and then like being like,
yeah, I mean, anytime I've ever used Smart Summon, people do tend to notice. I think mainly because when you're a pedestrian in a parking lot, you're like looking at the drivers to make sure that they're paying attention. And then when you don't see the driver, you go, you know, like, oh my God, there's no one driving the car. What are we going to do? And then you're like, oh, it's a Tesla. Oh, I guess they drive themselves now. Dang it.
I mean, look at this family trying to cross the street and they're like, is it okay? Are you controlling that shit? Can I cross now?
Thanks to Birch Living for sponsoring today's video. They've extended their Labor Day sale, so click the link in our description below to check them out.
We both love our Birch mattresses, and we think you will too.
Birch makes mattresses that are crafted with responsibly sourced materials such as organic cotton, organic wool, and 100% natural latex.
Their mattresses are free from polyurethane foams, which can cause harmful off-gassing, and unlike other brands, Birch mattresses do not contain fiberglass, which can be harmful to your health.
Other mattress companies use fiberglass as a flame retardant in their products, but Birch mattresses are free of harmful fiberglass materials. Birch mattresses never contain cheap, dangerous fiberglass and instead use 100% organic wool, harnessing its natural flame resistance.
I ordered the Birch Lux Natural Mattress, a premium upgrade to their original well-loved Birch Natural Mattress. And what I like most is how well I'm sleeping now. I fall asleep faster and I feel like my better sleep is helping me to feel better throughout my day.
I sometimes feel hot when I sleep, especially in the summer, but the organic materials in my Birch help keep me cool and regulate my body temperature. Unlike synthetic mattresses, the wool in these mattresses makes it hypoallergenic, both allergen and mildew resistant.
Now, you don't have to take our word for it, though. 93% of recent customers would recommend Birch to a friend, and 87% saw an improvement in their sleep quality.
Birch also found in the survey that 79% of those who suffered from back pain with their old mattress saw a reduction in pain with their Birch mattress.
The mattresses contain natural Dunlop latex to relieve pressure points, and the mattresses have over 1,000 individually wrapped steel coils to cradle your body and limit motion transfer.
When you purchase a Birch mattress, you get a 100-night sleep trial, along with a 25-year warranty.
Now, the best part about all this is that Birch delivers your mattress right to your door for free within the U.S. It comes rolled up in a box, and it's super easy to set up.
And they also offer in-home setup and removal to make your buying experience as convenient as possible.
Each Birch mattress comes with two of their EcoRest pillows made from recycled materials. They're breathable and better for the environment.
If you're looking for a new bed, check out Birch Living. They've extended their Labor Day sale, so it's the perfect time to upgrade your sleep with 25% off a Birch mattress, plus two free EcoRest pillows.
Visit birchliving.com/nowyouknow to find out more about this limited time offer. So Tesla AI posted their FSD release roadmap, and Elon posted
currently expected self-driving timeline.
All right, so let's take a closer look at the release roadmap here. So September, that's now, 12.5.2 with 3x improved miles between necessary interventions, 12.5.2 on AI 3 computers, so that's great if that's what you've got, actually Smart Summon that we just talked about, then Cybertruck Auto Park, which we haven't gotten yet, eye tracking with sunglasses on, that's great for a lot of people, end-to-end network on highway, we saw that in Hardware 4 vehicles, and then Cybertruck FSD. That'll be awesome if it actually comes this month. Then next month, October, unpark, park, and reverse in full self-driving. And then version 13 with 6x improved miles between necessary interventions. I think this is a big line here that a lot of people are going to miss because there's so many version numbers. We're all talking about 12.3 or 12.5. This is version 13.
I haven't even thought. Okay, so it's not version 12. It's version 13, so it's a big upgrade.
It could be if you can really make it happen in October. And then Q1 of 2025, get this, folks in Europe, FSD being launched in Europe pending regulatory approval and also in China.
And Cybertruck tweeted, can't wait to receive my brain.
Elon said, sorry, it's taken longer than expected. And he said, hopefully right-hand drive markets in late Q1, early Q2, pending regulatory approval. So we're talking all the places like Thailand, Australia, UK, they all should be seeing this as well. Now, if you listen to the mainstream media,
Elon has killed the Tesla brand. Nobody's buying Teslas anymore because Elon is a crazy billionaire.
So it's one thing to keep proclaiming it. It's another to back it up. So according to actual data, this does not appear to be true. According to automotive intelligence firm S&P Global Mobility, among individual brands, Tesla continues its run as the leader in brand loyalty with a rate of 67.8% for the first half of 2024.
Okay, but Tesla's loyalty is eroding because Elon is a maniac.
Well, as Vince Palmarez, Associate Director of Loyalty Product Management at S&P Global Mobility, told Forbes, we can only report on what we see in the data. In this instance, there is some decline in Tesla's loyalty for the first half of 2024 versus 23. However, it is below 1 percentage point. Tesla still remains the industry leader in brand loyalty by a healthy margin. For comparison's sake, the industry brand loyalty average stands at 52.5% for the first half of 24, and no other brand has a loyalty rate above 60%.
Wait, but you just said that Tesla's brand loyalty is 67.8.
Yeah, 15 percentage points above the average and more than 8 points above the second closest brand.
Okay, but Tesla sales are declining because nobody wants a car from a crazy, evil billionaire.
Well, actually, Tesla sales are up too. Tesla sold 654,000 vehicles in the U.S. in 2023. That was up over 25% from the year before.
Yeah. But this year, with all the crazy Elon tweets, I mean, that must be having an effect on the Tesla sales.
Well, looking at data from Q1 and Q2 of this year, which is the latest we have, it does appear that Tesla sales of 304,000 for the first half of the year are down 9.6% from the same period the previous year. But is that due to EV competition heating up or anti-Musk sentiment? Tesla is still the market leader with a 50.8% market share, according to Cox Automotive, but sales of other EV brands from Rivian, Mercedes-Benz, Cadillac are all jumping up. Rivian sales were up 33%. Mercedes-Benz were up 11.7%, and Cadillac EVs sold 13,000 vehicles in Q2, which was a huge increase for them. So look, there's no doubt that the mainstream media affects people's opinions and actions.
Yeah, if they spin endless stories against Tesla and Elon as they have from the beginning, as we have documented here on Tesla Time News for the past 8 years, then that becomes the programming in people's heads. That becomes their reality.
And that affects whether they buy an EV or an ICE car, and that affects whether they buy a Tesla or some other EV brand.
If Elon bad in millions of people's minds, then of course that has an effect on Tesla sales, and that's why they're doing it.
Yeah, it's effective. But for how much longer can the mainstream media keep it up? I mean, we're going to discuss this more with our patrons over on our weekly Patreon bonus stories. So please, if you haven't already, consider supporting the real reporting we do each and every week. Join us on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. So we've been reporting this more and more as more and more Teslas are on the roads. Tesla Sentry Cam footage is capturing things going on in the world, good and bad, from deer crossing the road to break-ins to car accidents, like the Cybertruck last week that just barely missed an oncoming car that had been hit from behind, to Sentry Cam footage that helps police catch criminals.
Now the San Francisco Chronicle is reporting on the Oakland police that have sought court orders to tow 3 Teslas in July and August that witnessed crimes.
Wow.
Yeah, so on July 1st, a Canadian tourist from Calgary staying at this La Quinta Inn near the Oakland airport found his Tesla had potentially witnessed a stabbing and shooting, and the police were loading it up onto a flatbed. The officer, Kevin Gachot, investigating the murder, said, I know that Tesla vehicles contain external surveillance cameras in order to protect their drivers from theft and or liability in accidents. Based on this information, I respectfully request that a warrant is authorized to seize this vehicle from the La Quinta Inn parking lot so this vehicle's surveillance footage may be searched via an additional search warrant at a secure location. Now, luckily, the tourist came out in time to see his car being taken and was able to share the footage with the police without the need to tow the car away.
But I mean, what if the tourist didn't agree to give up his footage?
Well, this taking of the cars was ordered by a court. The police had filed a warrant to seize the car as evidence. The same thing can happen to your phone or your camera if the police have reason to believe you witnessed a crime. As Sayyara Hussein, senior staff attorney at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, who specializes in government surveillance, says, when you have these cars on the roads that are constantly capturing information, even when they're parked, the police can look to them as a resource. That obviously puts third parties, people who are not involved at all, in the crosshairs of the investigations.
But I mean, not all Teslas are recording all the time. Do the police confiscate Waymos or Cruise vehicles because they have cameras all around?
Actually, the police subpoena Waymo and Cruise directly when they believe one of those robotaxis have witnessed something, because those vehicles are owned by Cruise and Waymo, and the police kind of know to contact them. But with Teslas parked on the street or in a parking lot, the police may not know who owns it, so they seem to be towing them back to the police lab.
What were you doing the night of March 8th?
But the Teslas have license plates, don't they? Can't the police look up who owns them and then call the owner and ask for the footage without taking the car?
I'm just telling you what's been happening. Like on July 13th in Oakland, here at this beauty shop on 40th and Telegraph Avenue, an argument turned into a shooting. Five people drew guns and a 27-year-old woman got shot and died. Oakland police officer Roland Aguilar obtained a search warrant to tow three vehicles, including a Tesla Model X with Kansas plates, writing in a court affidavit, "This video could provide valuable information relevant to the ongoing investigation."
Did the police get footage from the Model X?
Maybe. Because a few weeks later, two men were charged with murder and a bunch of other felonies in connection with the murders. In the police report, it listed probable cause coming from the high-definition quality surveillance footage. Now, this could have come from the Model X or security footage from local business security cameras. We don't know.
If we have any attorneys watching who would like to deep dive on this topic, please feel free to reach out to us at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com, because in our research, we've been discovering quite a few recent cases where Teslas have become evidence in felonies. And I'm sure this is going to grow. For the sake of Tesla owners and victims of crime, maybe we can figure out tools to help owners and police communicate better without the costly and time-consuming and disruptive act of towing Teslas to police labs.
I guess this is one of those times that we don't want disruption.
I mean, it's one thing when it's like, we need to see your camera because we just arrived at the scene of a crime, but it's another thing to come back. How are they going to tow a car of a Canadian citizen?
I mean, if it's considered evidence, I guess they're allowed to. I mean, it was a murder.
I mean, I guess it was a murder. Yeah, that's true. I mean, geez, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think a lot of us are thinking of that, you know, when we just park our cars on the street, that it could be considered evidence, even if we weren't recording anything.
Do they have really big evidence bags for Teslas?
And in a kind of epilogue to this, Helen wrote this: "Police arrest Cybertruck vandal today. A kind lady came into my work today to ask who owned the Cybertruck outside, mine. She and her young son had just seen someone keying my truck with Musk. She took down his description and license plate and showed me his car, which was still in the parking lot. I called 911. The cops came over and arrested him when he sauntered back to his parked vehicle. To top it off, this fine Boston policeman, who is also a Tesla owner, walked me through the Sentry and dash cam saved videos. It turns out my Cybertruck has the last 45 minutes saved, even though the Sentry mode was not activated. We got the footage of the guy keying my truck. The policeman borrowed the installed USB drive, which came with my truck, downloaded the video, and we'll use it in court. Now, at the end of my workday, I wish I could see the video of the guy arrested, but I only see the last 45 minutes. I would have loved to show all of you the guy in cuffs."
And so this is, again, the purpose of why Tesla installed Sentry mode in their vehicles.
Well, and in this case, she didn't even have it turned on. She didn't know that it's always recording the last, 1 hour loop.
And good on this police officer for knowing all of this stuff.
Yeah, and this is the thing. I think we should be educating our firefighters and police officers about Teslas because they're very unique vehicles.
It's amazing how useful these vehicles can be, both for the vehicle owner, but then obviously we're talking about murder investigations. And I think that we all would like to see justice be served. It would be great if police officers knew that they could take a USB drive as opposed to taking an entire vehicle. But I understand that, like, sometimes, you know, you might be like, well, I guess this guy might drive back to Canada and I'm not going to be able to reach him.
Well, in this case, there's a time thing going on, right? If you don't happen to get to that vehicle in the next few minutes, if it's not recording Sentry Cam onto a hard drive, you won't get it.
Right. Or if Sentry mode hasn't been activated, then, like Helen found out, you only get the last 45 minutes.
Right.
So
which is a good reason to activate it. I mean, you never know when you're going to catch something.
Oh, absolutely. But sometimes it doesn't activate.
Right.
I mean, it's not common, but
I just want to know, what was this key you're using? Was it like a special titanium key?
I know.
So we thought it would be good to turn our attention to Tesla production and sales in China and see how Tesla is doing in the largest auto market in the world.
Now, Tesla doesn't report weekly production and sales numbers for China. So how do we know what's going on there?
Well, luckily, new vehicle registrations and insurance registrations are tracked by many industry watchers, including some of Tesla's competition like Li Auto.
So while we can't accurately tell you what's happening in any one particular week, we can get a really good idea of how Tesla is doing by looking at the weekly data.
Right. Now, as valuable as all this data is that Xers like Tesla Chan post, my brain has trouble ingesting all this data when it's in a spreadsheet as just numbers. Luckily for me and you, Roland Pilcher at Piloli on X posts these awesome charts. So first up is Tesla China insurance data.
Okay, I'm confused.
Okay, yeah, each color is a different quarter. Like green is Q3 of 2023, and the numbers along the bottom are the weeks in the quarter.
Super lumpy.
Yeah, it's not that useful to me. but it is good data. The next one is easier to read because it's cumulative. So same thing. Each color is a different quarter, but you can pull trends out of this chart easier. So what do you see?
Purple is doing best.
Right. And purple is?
Oh, this quarter. That's great.
Yeah. It's really easy to see like if Tesla's doing better or worse than a previous quarter. So in this case, it looks like we're trending pretty well. The next one is also hard for my brain to interpret. It's sales by week for 2022, 23, and 24.
Okay.
But to me, it's easier to look at this cumulative chart of Tesla insurance registrations by week. So what do you see here?
Green was the worst year.
Okay. Yep. That was 2022.
And then red and orange are tied.
Right. So red, which is this year, is neck and neck with last year, where Tesla sold over 600,000 cars in China.
So can Tesla pull out an even bigger number than last year in the remaining 15 weeks?
Yeah, who knows? What do you guys think? Comment down below. I mean, is it just going to stay right on that line and we'll get another 600,000 cars, which I don't think would be bad necessarily. it's a lot of cars. Or are they going to be able to do some kind of magic and pull out at the end?
So what's that like plateau flat spot that happens in just a few weeks?
I don't know, because that's not like Chinese New Year or anything. I don't know.
Maybe it's a different holiday, or I mean, the data is going to be a little bit lumpy.
Right. To me, the most valuable part is comparing year to year, quarter to quarter.
Okay.
All right. It's time for the Cybertruck Roundup.
Yeehaw! The Cybertruck Roundup.
So Teslatino said, we made it to the Arctic Ocean. Two Cybertrucks at the end of the road. I couldn't be more proud of the team.
And Elon said,
cool.
Wow. So they drove all the way to the Arctic Ocean.
Now they got to come back.
I thought they were going to keep going.
To where?
Where?
The North Pole, of course.
Why to the North Pole, of course.
And remember last week I shared an email from Tesla that our viewer Sunny shared with us about how Tesla was offering $6,000 off Cybertruck. And you said, I wonder what the asterisk is for. Well, it turns out it was for expected savings. So not a savings off the actual purchase price.
I knew it.
I knew it.
So sorry for the misreporting here. I should have done more digging.
Yeah, I thought that would be kind of mean to us Cybertruck buyers who just purchased it for full price. But luckily, I'm going to be seeing those expected savings.
Exactly. Yeah, so remember.
Because I'm not paying for gas, except I didn't switch from a ICE car. So I'm not seeing those savings because I didn't switch from gas.
Remember, you got to read the asterisk. Philip shared these photos from his buddy Kauai Renatus, who got his Cyber Beast ferried to Kauai from Oahu, Hawaii. Now, Kauai is the island on the left.
Oh,
look at those pictures.
That's fun.
I mean, today I got to drive my Cybertruck to a really cool looking spot and take a picture. Well, that'd be a fun job. Tom shared this photo his wife Becky took of two semis loaded with Cybertrucks heading north on the I-5 across the Pitt River Bridge on Lake Shasta in California. He says, who says Cybertrucks can't cross water? The front ones reminded me of salmon leaping out of the water. By the way, the lower part of the bridge is the track for Union Pacific Railroad. Canadians, our wonderful Canadian viewers who may be interested in getting a Cybertruck, pay attention here. Cybertruck just posted, Cybertruck now eligible for $10,000 Clean BC rebate for businesses and organizations, plus federal capital cost allowance, pending approval from Quebec Eco-Camionnage and federal IMSEV rebates. Not too shabby, eh? And Billy posted his new, I'll call this like understated blue wrapped Tesla.
Midnight blue.
I don't know why the three drops of blood.
Because it's so cool.
Okay.
It's so sharp. It's so cutting edge. I don't know.
Elon said,
nice.
And then he said, one of the best wraps I've seen.
Shaq got his new Cybertruck. I think it's his second one. Also, Elon said,
nice.
Our viewer Robert shared his Cybertruck with his new wrap. Is it a Ford Lightning or a Chevy Bolt? No, it's a Cybertruck. If you want to find out about all the things going on in Cybertruck, there's more than we could possibly put here. Go to the Cybertruck Owners Club. They help sponsor the show, and they have their really cool configurator so you can see what your truck would look wrapped in different ways, and they've got their tracker so you can see when you're going to get yours.
And if you've logged on to Cybertruck Owners Club in the past and you're like, well, they didn't have all that much information, well, that was before the Cybertruck actually came out.
Exactly.
Now that Cybertruck owners are on the Cybertruck Owners Club, there's a lot of fun stuff to look at. Oh my goodness, there are so many electric bikes to choose from now.
Remember just a few years ago, there were practically no e-bikes.
And if you found an e-bike, it was super expensive and you had to like special order it from Europe.
Now there are, dare I say it, Too many?
This week, we review another fat tire e-bike, the Engwe L20, a potential budget option for you.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword here, in my opinion. With so many choices, you get great competition on price and features, but you have more work for yourself to actually find the right e-bike that fits your needs and budget.
And how do you do that when most bike shops still don't sell e-bikes?
Or if they do sell them, it's like one or two expensive brands. I know the best thing is to take an e-bike for a test ride, but unfortunately, they're still really hard to find physically in many places.
And that's what we're here for. We take them out and test them for you and report back on features, build quality, and how they actually perform in the real world so you don't end up making a big purchase that you're not happy with.
So check out our review of the Engwe L20 Fat Tire e-bike on Now Let's Review and see if it may just be what you were looking for.
And over on our Disruptive Investing channel, we just released a cool interview with Renee Hansen, the CEO of a Swedish company called X-Shore.
Yeah, they're making these electric boats. So cool. I can't wait to go for a cruise in either the X-Shore Pro or the Elix 8000. These are all electric boats, so no loud, smelly diesel engines, no expensive engine maintenance every 200 hours, and there are so many cool benefits that I hadn't even thought of till we talked to them.
I think you're going to enjoy this video to find out how electric boats are going to disrupt the boating industry.
The electrification of road transportation is something most of us get here on the show, but it doesn't stop there. Other forms of transportation may not be in the same place on that adoption curve as electric automobiles, but you know, bikes and planes and boats are all on the S curve nonetheless, and they will disrupt the existing internal combustion technology. So if you want to be a disruptive investor, then you need to know about these technologies, and we believe the best way to stay on top of it as an investor is to hear directly from the companies that are doing the disruption.
We'll put the link in the show notes so that you can check it out next on your playlist. You may remember that we interviewed the co-founder and CEO of Climatize, Will Wiseman, earlier this year.
He co-founded Climatize as a way for individuals to have access to solar energy projects that are raising funds.
Their team just launched the web version of their platform, which means that you don't need to download an app to explore the projects and potentially invest. You can simply go to climatize.earth/NYK.
So the way it works is you can go to the Climatize website, you can set up an account. If you choose to invest, you can do so with as little as $10. There are no investor fees, and this is open to all U.S. bank account holders over the age of 18. You don't need to be an accredited investor or anything special.
You can look through their investment offerings and choose a project that you'd like to support.
Investment offerings on their platform have the ability to pay up to 10% annual target return.
Yes, you heard that right. You can potentially earn up to a 10% annual return, and your investing your money into solar energy projects across the U.S. You can look through their investment offerings and choose a project that you'd like to support.
So did we get your attention? I thought so.
Use our referral code NYK023 to get $25 in free credit once you complete your onboarding process.
So check them out, but kindly remember that we are not financial advisors. This is not a solicitation to invest, and all investments carry risk, so please consult with a professional before making any financial decisions.
Thank you to Climatize for sponsoring our show. This just in, a Wall Street Journal exclusive Tesla FUD report.
Musk's XAI has discussed deal for share in future Tesla revenue. Under a proposed arrangement, the startup would give Tesla access to its AI technology in exchange for a slice of the carmaker's software revenue.
Well, there you have it, folks. This just in from Elon Musk himself.
Haven't read the article, but the above is not accurate. Tesla has learned a lot from discussions with engineers at XAI that have helped accelerate achieving unsupervised FSD, but there is no need to license anything from XAI. The XAI models are gigantic, containing in compressed form most of human knowledge, and couldn't possibly run on the Tesla vehicle inference computer, nor would we want them to. The Tesla AI models have incredibly dense, in a good way, intelligence as they compress video of reality into driving commands, but must operate on a 300-watt computer with memory size and bandwidth far lower than, say, an H100 GPU. Tesla real-world AI also has a vastly larger context size than an LLM, as the combined video history from all cameras is several gigabytes in size.
He went on to say, how many fake articles have you seen about Tesla at this point? 100, 1,000, maybe several thousand? Wall Street Journal is talking nonsense.
And just so you know, this was the fifth time that the Wall Street Journal published wrong information just about XAI and Tesla. And I wonder why they keep doing that.
So Wall Street Journal has misreported on this five times?
Just this very specific topic. Like, not just Tesla, XAI and Tesla. They keep trying to drive this point, this wedge, I think, into investors that like Tesla should be paying XAI. And that means that Elon's companies are screwing you Tesla investors. And it's like, no, they're helping. I mean, basically just you go down the hall to your buddy at the XAI computer. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, how would this help us over at Autopilot? And like, oh, here's an idea.
Right.
And they seem to be implying like you should be paying for that information. And it appears Elon has named the training cluster within Cortex Colossus. So he said, this weekend, the XAI team brought our Colossus 100,000 H100 training cluster online. From start to finish, it was done in 122 days. Colossus is the most powerful AI training system in the world. Moreover, it will double in size to 200,000, 50,000 H200s, in a few months. Excellent work by the team, NVIDIA, and our many partners and suppliers.
So I know this is confusing. Cortex is the entire supercomputer located at Giga Texas. Colossus is the training cluster, so basically a subset of Cortex.
Now, we couldn't find any direct reference to Cortex in sci-fi. We looked through, you know, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy because they had deep thought. We looked at Ian Bank's Culture series. They had Minds. And The Matrix had The Matrix. So comment down below if you know where Elon might have found the reference to Cortex, or maybe he made this up from scratch.
And while you may think that Colossus is named after the World War II U.S. Defense Department computer that helped decrypt the German Lorenz messages during the war,
we think Elon named it after this. We'll explain all of this on Patreon bonus stories this week, so head on over, join us for as little as a buck a month, will you?
YouTube is throttling us, and it's our awesome Patreon patrons that are keeping these shows coming out every week.
Are you going to let independent journalism and humor die with a whimper?
Don't let Colossus win.
You'll get it when you join us on Patreon.
Just do it. It's not going to kill you.
So Zangler on X posted a bolt of Tesla semis, 26 brand new Tesla semis fresh off of the prototype production line. They seem to be hitting their stride and increasing the pace of production.
In fact, Zangler saw even more than 26. He counted about 40 new Tesla semis that just rolled out of Giga Nevada. Now, this isn't even with the new Tesla semi factory built.
Right. I mean, the Tesla semi factory is being built right next to Giga Nevada, and they just started putting up steel, which we know about, again, because of Zangler. So go ahead and follow him on X for all his great reporting.
But it looks like Tesla is pumping many of these semis out to fill the 100 order from Pepsi. Also, many of the new trucks are probably going to Tesla to make their deliveries of parts between Giga Nevada and Fremont.
And hopefully soon after that for nationwide Tesla vehicle deliveries, which would be really cool.
And maybe one of them is ours.
Yeah, we're like number 65 on the list. We signed up the first day at the unveil event and put down our deposit.
So how many Tesla semis have been built so far overall?
Well, Zangler estimates around 100 to 200. He puts it somewhere at like 150. So that's a pretty fair number if you think about like all the testing that they're getting to do with them.
Ford has just launched a new version of their best-selling e-Transit van.
All right, so Ford sold 2,143 units of the original version in Q4 of last year. So what has Ford changed?
The big change is range. Many e-Transit owners complained about the low range, so Ford increased it by 32%. It's now up to 159 miles with 89 kilowatt hours of usable energy in the battery pack. And it now has dual onboard chargers, so it charges 22% faster. Also, the e-Transit now has Pro Power on board.
Translate, please.
So it has 2.4 kilowatts of 120 volt outlets inside the van.
Oh, okay. So you could plug in a fridge or like a freezer if you're going to use this van to deliver food or flowers, for example.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. What's the starting price?
$51,095. That goes up to $57,935 for the cargo van.
Hmm. I mean, I still think the range is a bit low because not that you're going to be doing road trips in it, but because most users are going to be driving to multiple jobs and going to pick up supplies and they don't want to really think about range. But yeah, I mean, if they improve the range, that's good.
I definitely think that 120 miles, the original range was like, ooh, you just have range anxiety at that point.
They need to get this over 250, in my opinion, before people can really just relax and enjoy the vehicle.
I mean, I can understand that making the range higher increases the price of the vehicle. And so you keep the range low. And because this is going to be kind of a local van, I guess that's what they're kind of hoping that you'll use it for, that you don't need to have any kind of amazing range or battery like that.
Mm-hmm. I just think if Tesla enters this market with a cyber van at some point, it's going to be amazing.
It would be.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition.
In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Our buddy Will from the Tesla Jigsaw YouTube channel is back with another great piece. Take it away, Will.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is the future of electric vehicle charging. I know, I'm just as excited as you must be. It's got rapid chargers, Tesla superchargers, a solar canopy, meeting pods inside, exercise bikes, electric scooter hire, a games area, picnic tables, test drives available with the latest EVs, electric car leasing, a nice shop, and a cafe. This electric forecourt has got everything. Oh, and toilets. I don't know about you, but I never used to get this excited about visiting a petrol station. I'm in Braintree, yet another strangely named place in England, where driving into this forecourt is like a dream come true for electric car geeks like me. It's hubs like this that will gradually replace traditional fuel stations and provide super quick and easy charging for those on the go or for the 25% of folks in the UK that don't have a parking space or driveway to charge their vehicle at home. In and out of somewhere like this, job done. Here there are 36 rapid chargers, each thankfully with contactless payment. Or you can set up a GridServe membership where you can save 20% on charging all summer, or what's left of it perhaps. The solar canopy doesn't just shelter drivers from the very occasional rain we get here in the UK, but also powers the entire site minus the chargers. Those are powered from GridServe's solar farm 44 miles up the road. It's a 60-acre solar farm that produces 10 gigawatt hours of energy a year. A point made clear from GridServe is that internal combustion engine drivers are more than welcome to come and have a look around, talk to experts about switching to an electric car. You can test drive loads on offer right from the GridServe forecourt, of which there are many around the UK. Inside the building there are all the obvious things you'd expect from a nice service station, as well as meeting pods which you can book out for free, a games area for kids, loads of nice seating and viewing areas across the forecourt, and even a couple of exercise bikes that help toward charging the cars. I might have made that bit up, but it'd be good if they did, wouldn't it? After visiting this place for the first time, GridServe are clearly growing into becoming as familiar as BP, Shell or the supermarket petrol stations of today by building out the infrastructure we need for an ever-growing EV market. If you want an exciting day out and find your local GridServe electric forecourt, pop to gridserve.com to see active, planning approved or in planning locations. Thanks guys, back to you.
Thanks, Will. Now, if you haven't already checked out Will's YouTube channel called Tesla Jigsaw, you should. Will puts a lot of thought, work, and a large dose of fun into every episode.
I just want to touch on what Will covered this week. These GridServe charging locations in the UK.
Yeah, why can't we have nice things?
This is why we can't have nice things.
I mean, I know that Tesla has a few really cool sites like the Kettleman City and the Harris Ranch, California sites that have solar canopies, lounges, and snacks.
Right, because I mean, most EV charging stations look like this. In the back of a parking lot, somewhere.
With dumpsters behind them, yeah. Right. I mean, if businesses understood how beneficial EV drivers are, I mean, we're going to be charging for at least 10 minutes, at least, right? So why not cater to our needs like at the GridServe station that Will just showed us?
Right, we're probably going to want to stretch our legs, get a bite to eat. And since you have us there physically, isn't that what most businesses dream about? A captured audience for their products and services?
I mean, I'm telling you, those brick and mortar businesses that get it and build sites like GridServe's will have a huge advantage over those that don't. And I'm just so surprised that it's still years after EVs have started hitting the roads that still businesses are like, why would we care about them? Kind of amazing.
All right, it's time for some SpaceX news with our friend Eli.
Welcome back to the Starman Report. I'm Eli Burton, your host, and let's jump in. China is preparing to test their lunar bricks in space to pave the way for their future moon base. Bricks made from different types of simulated lunar soil are set to be sent to the Tianyang space station on the Tianzhu 8 cargo mission, as reported by the Chinese state media CCTV. Once there, these bricks will undergo a 3-year series of exposure tests in space. They'll face intense ultraviolet light, cosmic rays, and temperature fluctuations to test their durableness against harsh environments. These bricks are not made of actual moon dust. They are made out of a lunar soil simulant, which means it's made out of a material which mimics the chemical, physical, and other properties of lunar soil. And the reason a lunar simulant is used instead of the real thing is because right now the cost to harvest and bring moon dust back to Earth is way too expensive to use for brick making. Move on over, streets paved with gold. This is the space age, and we want our bricks made out of moon dust. In other news, U.S. astronaut Matthew Dominic on board the ISS captured this video of a meteor entering Earth's atmosphere that caused a bright green flash above North Africa. Also coming out of the ISS this week, the Boeing Starliner has returned to Earth without its astronauts. After a many month-long saga and multiple attempts by Boeing to work out the issues, the Boeing Starliner has now returned to New Mexico empty. NASA astronauts Wilmore and Wilson are still on the ISS, and they will return home with the SpaceX Crew 9 mission in February of next year. Which, stay tuned to the Starman report. There's going to be some exclusive coverage of the Crew 9 launch coming up at the end of this month. Well, guys, that's all for this time. Thank you so much for watching this week's episode of the Starman Report, and I look forward to having you back for more of the most exciting news in space.
Thank you, Eli. So Eli is actually down there in Florida covering some of these events. I'm so excited for you, Eli. This is really great news. And in further Starlink and SpaceX news, Elon said Starlink now available in the Solomon Islands.
Gwynne Shotwell posted this picture. She said, "This was one of my favorite days at work, bringing Starlink's high-speed internet to a school in the Amazon and meeting and getting hugs from these extraordinary students." This picture shows just a few of the hundreds of thousands of amazing Brazilian people whom we are fighting to keep connected. Alexandre, please stop harassing Starlink and let us keep serving the people of Brazil. And Elon posted a happy emoji.
SpaceX launched its 7,000th Starlink satellite last week, and Elon said Starlink now constitutes roughly two-thirds of all active Earth satellites. And another Starlink is going to, well, do you recognize this address?
Is that 10 Downing Street?
It is. Alex says Starlink will be installed at number 10 Downing Street as Prime Minister Keir Starmer took delivery of the system yesterday. The Wi-Fi must have been really, really horrible at 10 Downing Street.
And Elon said, it's great internet. Which is funny because Elon doesn't like the Prime Minister of England right now, but the Prime Minister of England needs Starlink.
Elon said Starlink now available in Zimbabwe. And then Elon posted this, which is so exciting. He said the first starships to Mars will launch in 2 years when the next Earth-Mars transfer window opens. These will be uncrewed to test the reliability of landing intact on Mars. If those landings go well, then the first crewed flights to Mars will be in 4 years. Flight rate will grow exponentially from there, with the goal of building a self-sustaining city in about 20 years. Being multiplanetary will vastly increase the probable lifespan of consciousness, as we will no longer have all our eggs, literally and metabolically, on one planet. SpaceX created the first fully reusable rocket stage and, much more importantly, made the reuse economically viable. Making life multiplanetary is fundamentally a cost per ton to Mars problem. It currently costs about $1 billion per ton of useful payload to the surface of Mars. That needs to be improved to $100,000 a ton to build a self-sustaining city there. So the technology needs to be 10,000 times better. Extremely difficult, but not impossible. And Paul Graham said, whoa. This is not one of those things happening in a couple decades. This is happening in 4 years.
Elon said attempting to land giant spaceships on Mars will happen in that time frame, but humans are only going after the landings are proven to be reliable. 4 years is best case for humans, might be six, hopefully not eight. And then he said a journey of 100 million miles starts with one step. Woo, holy crap-a-moly. Now, I want to manage some expectations here.
It could be 2 weeks late.
Eric Berger has a really great new book on SpaceX, and in it he talks about green lights to Malibu, which is the concept that Elon is part of Elon's mantra, which is basically that if everything goes right, here is what I expect to happen. Right. So the 2 years, the 4 years, that is if everything goes really well. Now, he's usually not that far off, but he's far off enough, I guess, for people to go, well, it didn't happen when he said it was going to happen. Right, because he doesn't put in any of the, well, things are probably going to go poorly. He's saying this could conceivably happen. although there's usually 8 years. Setbacks.
I mean, in my lifetime with NASA, we just knew it would take 10 or 20 years to do any project, right? Yeah. So to do this project, which is probably the most amazing, to take 8 years would still be astounding.
Not the most amazing. The most amazing thing that humanity has ever done in the history of humanity. You can argue that point if you'd like to, but I think that creating a self-sustaining city on Mars would probably be up there. Okay, I know that some people are real.
Disney World, the Marvel movies, and Mars, yeah.
I know that some people are like fans of the pyramids and stuff like that. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It could be amazing.
And with that, let's go into the future, sponsored by our friends at Henson Shaving.
Thank you, Henson. You can use our code to get over 200 shaves for free by using the code NOWYOUKNOW at checkout. Put 100 blades in your cart and check them all out for free when you buy this amazing Henson razor. Escape into the
future. So we knew that Tesla was working on some kind of wireless charging, but now we have four international patent filings that Tesla has made for four different aspects of wireless charging back in February.
First is the shorting switch to reduce ground leakage current in inductive charging.
Right. Of course, you have to have that. You also have to have temperature sensors and applications in wireless charging. That's a no-brainer.
I would have thought of that one, I think. And then wireless charging circuit topology and related methods of manufacturing.
Yep.
That one's, you know, pretty standard, obvious stuff. I don't even know how they're getting patents for this. And then, of course, parameter estimation for wireless charging. Obvious, right? Easy. As we know with a lot of Tesla's patent filings, they are mainly done to protect themselves from patent trolls.
And if you want to know what we're talking about, you should really watch The Patent Scam, which was produced by our buddy Austin Meyer. This explains why you kind of have to protect yourself by filing a patent so that other people don't stop you from doing what you already were doing. Crazy, I know, right? By the way, three of the four patents were made by Zhuang Zhan. He's Tesla's senior electronic design engineer of power electronics, and he is listed as one of the inventors. So that's way to go. All right, it's time for Going Green. So Georgia Power has signed a battery and equipment supply agreement with Tesla for a 500 megawatt or 2,000 megawatt hour system of megapacks.
Okay, so that's 2 gigawatt hours, and each megapack two is 5.2 megawatt hours. So that's about 384 megapacks.
Well, if it's a 500 megawatt output system and each megapack is capable of outputting 2 megawatts, then that would be 250 megapacks. So a single megapack two costs about $1,039,000. And I'm sure there's a discount when you buy a dozen or 100 of them. But this is a big deal.
Yeah, Tesla is continuing to stabilize the grid and grow revenues for the energy division.
Again, these are stories you don't hear about from the legacy press. And I want to talk about that for a second. I think these are really big deals because many people have no idea what a megapack is or what it does.
They just keep saying stupid stuff like, the electrical grid can't support solar. The electrical grid can't support electric cars. Pretty soon, the lights are going to shut off forever.
Let me ask you something. What's the fastest growing electrical demand on the grid globally?
Data centers, crypto?
Yeah. Data centers use an estimated 200 to 300 terawatt hours of demand globally every year, and it's growing fast. Crypto mining consumes around 150 to 160 terawatt hours annually. So now that might seem small in comparison to the total global electrical grid, which used 29,000 terawatt hours in 2022.
But it's still 1.5 to 2% of the total grid.
Right. So now let's look at EVs, right, which are going to break the grid.
Yeah.
In 2023, with 14 million plug-in EVs globally, those vehicles used an estimated 33.4 terawatt hours of electricity.
33.4 terawatt hours versus 450 terawatt hours.
So do you think crypto or data centers are going away anytime soon?
No, they're growing every year.
Right. But I don't hear people at the water cooler going, how's the grid going to deal with all this crypto and data centers? They just go, it's solar power and EVs that are killing the grid. No, they're not. So if that happens, if EVs like destroy the grid, then long before that, data centers and crypto will destroy the grid. So that's what I'm saying. The media wants to sell a story. EVs are bad. Solar wind bad. No, it's actually making your grid way more resilient, because with all these batteries means resiliency.
And again, when we're talking about batteries, this giant megapack in Georgia is just one of many projects that Tesla is building.
Right. I mean, wind, solar, and batteries are the fastest growing power generation types, and it makes sense. So let's get our energy from the sun, people. It's just that simple.
So we reported back in early August on EVject being sued by Tesla because Tesla ran some tests and they found that the EVject connector could reach high temperatures.
Now, I personally believe from reading Tesla's testing procedures that their testing was flawed. But regardless, we now have an update for you. EVject and Tesla have come to an agreement. EVject will recall their version 1 and version 1.1 escape connectors, even though they say they aren't aware of any issues or incidents with the connector.
EVject says that they, quote, want to be good partners with Tesla, and at Tesla's request, they are no longer selling these connectors, quote, and are offering a complimentary upgrade to EVject supervised version 1.2, which includes built-in thermal protection and works with all current Tesla charging options and vehicles.
So customers are being asked to return their adapter, after which they will receive a credit to purchase the version 1.2. However, version 1.2 connectors won't be shipping until later this year. And EVject reposted this from Tesla Charging, saying Tesla and OEMs will keep working with the industry to provide safe adapters and develop common sense regulatory standards. And I think safety comes first, but I also think in this case that EVject escape connectors version 1.0 and 1.1 are safe.
I really like how EVject has handled themselves, staying science-based and professional about this. They developed this very important product to help keep people safe, and I'm really glad that they were able to work things out with Tesla.
Yeah, in the long run, this is a good thing for the whole EV community, and I, for one, can't wait for the version 1.2 to start shipping. We'll be one of the first to test it when it does.
Again, the functionality is not really going to change all that much. I again do not think that this charger is inherently dangerous. I think that this is typical corporate CYA stuff. I mean, we personally know Craig and Eric over at EVject. They started the business based off of a recommendation that I got through talking to Tesla owners. And so, I mean, this is a very community-driven thing. It's a safety device. You may not think that you personally need one, but there are plenty of people in the world who are going to feel a whole lot safer when they know that they can drive away without having to leave their car to go unplug if something was sketchy were to walk up to their vehicle.
All right, it's time for sunspots. So Massachusetts, our home state, and Rhode Island are working together to build 2.8 gigawatts of new offshore wind.
This is the first time that two states have coordinated the procurement of offshore wind sites.
So when it's built, this will be the largest offshore wind project in New England so far. And once it comes online, Massachusetts, get this, Jesse, they will get 20% of the state's total electricity demand. That's 1.4 million homes in Massachusetts will get their power from these wind turbines.
So that's the equivalent of cutting the emissions from 1 million cars.
Yeah. This is the U.S.'s 10th offshore wind project, and it will create a lot of green jobs, an estimated 12,000 jobs across Massachusetts and Rhode Island.
These three projects, South Coast Wind, New England Wind 1, and Vineyard Wind 2, will start construction next year and will be fully online by 2030.
Now, if you'd like to get your own wind, you'll have to talk to someone else. But if you want to get your own solar and batteries, talk to our friends at EnergyPal. They help people go solar and battery for less because they know all the new regulations and rebates and who to be your installer when you're kind of sitting there confused and stuck. And let them know that Zach and Jesse sent you. We'll put their link down below. All right, it's time for our video contributor stories. We need your stories to make the show great. So remember to send them to us 2 minutes or less. Shoot them in landscape with good audio and no music. Send them to hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. What do we got this week?
Brian is reporting on one of Tesla's latest superchargers in Florida.
Hi, Zach and Jesse. Great news. They've got this huge new 22 station. Look at this. It goes on forever. The latest superchargers in Yamato, Boca Raton, which has taken huge pressure off the Boca Raton supercharger, which was always packed. I never had to wait there, but it was always packed. Look at this. 22 of the new superchargers. Unbelievable. Oh, and my new Model Y that I just picked up. 1.9% financing. Now you know. Oh, I would rate this like a 7 out of 10 because the shopping's a bit skimpy, but for me, it's so handy. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian. Congratulations on the new Model Y. Yeah, Tesla's new 1.9% APR financing is also a story in itself.
If you have a friend or family member who is looking to buy a new car, let them know how much money they can save with Tesla's new low financing option.
And I think it's working really well for Tesla because they've introduced it into a bunch of different markets. So yeah, it's a money saver for people. All right, it's time for our Patreon bonus stories. And on Patreon this week, we've got so many stories for just our patrons.
A patron asks about Tesla pinball machines.
Is Elon hurting Tesla's brand?
New car brand loyalty data.
And so much more.
You can see these stories for just a buck a month. Also, our Investor Club bonus stories for our Investor Club members.
So head on over to patreon.com/nowyouknow and support us.
Keep independent journalism strong and get all of these Patreon bonus stories.
All right, we're back from our Patreon bonus stories. It's time for the poll. Has Elon killed the Tesla brand?
Interesting poll.
Very interesting results.
Okay, so
let's go through this here. So 30% of people think that yes, Elon has hurt Tesla's brand for sure. So that's like for sure. 12% say no, this is another FUD story. But the majority of people say this answer. Some people are turned off by Elon in the short term, but in the long term, it's not going to adversely affect the Tesla brand.
Hmm.
It's very interesting. Some people have put the 30% and the 57% together to kind of be like, Elon's hurting the brand. Other people have put the 12% and the 57% together and say, see, it's not.
That's why we had three options.
That's right. But it's really, yeah, it's really interesting on what people are thinking about this. And there are a lot of interesting comments from patrons. All right, it's time for Elon's X's of the week. So buckle up. We're going to continue this week where we left off with the government of Brazil continuing to ban X. Now, while I don't think this is good, it does allow us to see who supports Brazil's censorship and who doesn't. Like this post from Keith Ellison, who is the former deputy chief of the Democratic National Committee, posting Obrigado Brazil, meaning thank you, Brazil.
Thank you, Brazil. For censoring your population?
Yep. Some people were for it this week.
I mean, I just want to say a lot of people don't like Elon Musk. That's fine. You don't have to like Elon Musk. Do you have to also, in order to hurt Elon Musk, do you also have to censor millions of Brazilians? Kind of a weird of a weird take.
Doge Designer says, breaking, 146 deputies signed the impeachment request for Alexandre de Moraes. And Elon said,
this evil tyrant is a disgrace to judges' robes.
Mark Ruffalo, the actor, said Elon showed his total disrespect for Brazilian sovereignty and in particular for the judiciary, setting himself up as a true supranational entity and immune to the laws of each country, de Moraes wrote, because he is a weird and entitled billionaire tech bro. Tax him heavily.
And Elon said, Ruffalo is a proud member of the Castrati.
Elon then said, follow the Alexander files to find out exactly how a so-called justice repeatedly and directly violated the laws of Brazil that he swore to uphold. No judge on earth in the 21st century has broken his own country's laws so often and so egregiously.
Jordan Peterson said, a very dark man. Take care, Elon.
Elon said, his days in power are numbered. Once out of power, he will face the penalties for his many crimes under Brazilian law. Elon went on to say 23 senators in Brazil have voted to impeach him.
He said, still, that's a lot of senators who want him gone. Next election, he goes.
Doge Designer says Alexandre de Moraes ordered the freezing of Starlink's assets in Brazil, including cars and aircraft.
Elon said there's no legal basis for this whatsoever. Starlink is a different company with different shareholders. Moraes, the charlatan in judge's robes, cannot even cite a law that Starlink has broken.
Doge Designer said, breaking, X just revealed that Alexandre de Moraes not only censored prominent politicians and journalists, but also illegally censored Brazilian citizens.
Elon said he did this for vast numbers of accounts. No question that he engaged in election interference in Brazil at large scale.
Elon then went on to say he is a criminal cosplaying as a judge. Moraes will end up in prison for his many crimes. That is his destiny. Mike Benn says zero pushback, zero threats, zero public statements on this from the U.S. State Department because they are in on it.
Elon says because they want to suppress freedom of speech in America, too.
Dima says in 2022, the previous government of Brazil awarded Elon Musk with the Grand Cross of the Order of Merit for his contributions to the country of Brazil.
And Elon said true.
Mario says breaking, the Brazilian legal bar and Novo Party filed to overturn Moraes' X ban.
And Elon said bravo.
Then Elon put up this meme. Maybe I'm an NPC. No, having the same opinions as celebrities and major corporations while repeating every media talking point verbatim is what real people do. Farzad said, I think the whole NPC narrative is misguided and something I've changed my mind on recently. Imagine living an average US life. You wake up to an alarm, likely short on sleep. You rush to get ready for your day. You work a job you don't like with people you don't like. And Elon said,
I'm referring to the media puppets whose full-time job is reporting the news.
The House Judiciary GOP says, but Democrats don't want it. Why? And this is basically the countries with voter ID, but they are not passing that here in the US. Elon says, because not requiring ID combined with mail-in voting makes it completely impossible to prove fraud, obviously. America First Legal says new lawsuit to stop illegal alien voting. We are suing all 15 counties in Arizona for refusing to remove illegals from their voter rolls. This follows our lawsuit against Maricopa. Every county in Arizona is flagrantly defying its duty under state law to expunge illegal voters.
Elon said Arizona is refusing to remove illegals from voter rolls.
And America First Legal says, correct. Arizona has 42,000 voters on the federal voting rolls who could not or would not present proof of citizenship. On July 17th, we sent demand letters to county recorders in all 15 counties notifying them of their legal obligation under state law to screen existing voters.
Elon said this is crazy.
Elon then went on to say the Democratic Party, same one that used to defend the First Amendment, now wants to destroy the First Amendment. Jason Calacana says, would be interesting if X had a built-in VPN, i.e. the main app had a VPN that turned on for blue check marks.
Elon said, the fake judge is forcing Apple and Google to remove X from their app stores. Jason, this will happen here if Kamala is elected.
New York Post posted, 3 out of 4 arrested in Midtown, a migrant crime, and again.
Elon says, when is enough enough? My mother lives in New York and her friends have been assaulted 3 times this year with no punishment for the attackers.
More Birth says, understanding plunging Nordic fertility. For years, the Nordic countries had healthy birth rates that were the envy of Europe, helped in part by some of the most generous family policies in the world. No longer.
Elon said, worth reading.
Mario says, Trump considers Elon for role in auditing U.S. agencies.
Elon said, I can't wait. There's a lot of waste and needless regulation in government that needs to go.
Blake Hall said the Government Accountability Office estimates the federal government loses between $233 billion to $521 billion annually to fraud based on data from 2018 to 2022. That's about 2% of America's GDP stolen every year and trillions of dollars lost.
Elon said your tax dollars are being wasted to a degree that is hard to comprehend. An aircraft carrier costs $13 billion. America could have bought a new Navy to better defend the country, upgraded our highways, or any one of a great number of things. Instead, we got fraud. So let me just get this straight. With the amount of fraud that the U.S. government has estimated, we could have bought dozens and dozens and dozens of new aircraft carriers?
If that's what we wanted, yeah.
I mean, aircraft carriers are cool, and aircraft carriers are expensive, but we could have had like 40 aircraft carriers.
Yep.
We would have run out of U.S. presidents to name them after. We would have to start naming them after, you know,
tech bros.
Yeah.
Elon Musk then tweeted, the Department of Government Efficiency will be epic.
What would you say you do here?
Farzad posted, if Elon Musk does end up on a commission or group in the Trump administration, he should host all meetings live on Spaces so that the American public finally gets an idea how our tax dollars are spent. It's time.
Elon said, good idea. If anyone feels strongly about keeping a government department, they can speak up.
Elon went on to say, I've never been materially active in politics before, but this time I think civilization as we know it is on the line. If we want to preserve freedom and a meritocracy in America, then Trump must win. He went on to say, I look forward to serving America if the opportunity arises. No pay, no title, no recognition is needed. There is a 0% chance of a Democratic administration doing anything except increasing the size of government. That said, most Republican administrations increase the size of government too, especially on the defense side. And then he posted this. I guess that's what he wants put on his desk. I guess he wants some recognition. Autism Capital says, if this actually becomes real, we're genuinely worried for Elon's safety. Trolling around is one thing, but when he's about to reduce government spending, he's directly coming between people and their grifts. When you come between scammers and their money, they get violent.
Elon says, well, what are our choices here? The country is choked with nonsense regulations, and excessive government spending is driving a great misallocation of human resources. Building great projects is practically illegal in America.
Andrew McCarthy says, here's the time lapse I promised you from yesterday's solar activity, complete with Earth to scale and a bonus of the sun's rotation. This is easily one of my cleanest time lapses I've managed over such a long period. Enjoy.
And Elon said, wow.
I mean, I knew the sun was bigger than the Earth and I knew there were sunspots, but seeing little Earth there is like, I don't know. It's mind blowing to know that you can do this from your backyard. Like,
wow.
Elon said, have to say, I like the new New Zealand prime minister. Good energy and talks directly to the public. This is the way.
And then the prime minister said, over and out from Malaysia after a busy couple of days. Next stop, Korea.
Tablet magazine says many people believe the changes to our voting laws and practices began in 2020 with COVID. But as Armin Rosen reports today, the pandemic panic was an opportunity for activists and lawyers to accelerate changes to America that were already in the works.
Elon says, true, these voting changes were being pushed for a while. All they needed was a crisis to undermine democracy and freedom. That is how we lose it, one crisis at a time.
Elon then said conversation with Lex Fridman and Donald Trump. So you can check that out on the Lex Fridman podcast. X Engineering says the X TV app beta is now available on several app stores with more platforms on the way.
Elon said TV app beta rolling out. X will soon be available on all home TV screens.
Andrina says, how's your day? How are you feeling, Elon? You're working hard every day and I care about you. Tell me, please.
Elon said, just leaving Tesla engineering offices in Palo Alto. Mostly good, some bad. The future is going to be wild. There will be so many robots.
And then he posted, what's your work day like, they ask. And that's the Tasmanian devil. X Daily News says, news, in lawsuit brought by X Corp, the Ninth Circuit rules that California's law requiring large social media companies to submit reports to the Attorney General about their content moderation policies and practices likely violates the First Amendment.
Elon said, congrats to the X legal team for defending freedom of speech, the bedrock of democracy.
Michael Schellenberger says, you might not care about Brazil. You don't have to. The censorship and totalitarianism happening over there is a trial run for what they want to do over here. That's not a theory. The censors themselves say so. There's only one way to defeat them, not to be afraid of them.
And Elon said 100%.
Hassan says, I hate mosquitoes.
Elon said, same. I almost died from a mosquito.
Internet Archive responds to appellate opinion in Hatchett versus Internet Archive. We're disappointed in today's opinion about the Internet Archive's digital lending of books that are available electronically elsewhere.
Elon says, support the Internet Archive.
And Internet Archive says, that's correct. Publishers removed 1984 from our library.
Elon said, dark irony.
They also removed Fahrenheit 451. List of the 1,300 banned books the publishers removed from our library are linked in this FAQ. Sir Emeritus says Time Magazine has released their most influential people in AI in 2024. Somehow, Elon Musk is not on the list, despite recently bringing online the most powerful AI training system in the world with XAI and having the largest self-driving data fleet in the world at Tesla.
And Elon said, magazines do not establish relevance. History does.
Mike Ben says what's happening with censorship in Brazil goes all the way to the top. Just 1 month into Lula's term, President Biden and President Lula met in Washington and specifically pledged the U.S. government would work together with Brazil's government to stamp out disinformation.
Elon said the whole hate speech slash disinformation bullshit is a nice sounding way to censor the people and is being pushed by a lot of asshole nonprofits.
Autism Capital says the older we get, the more we appreciate that some of the books they force people to read as kids actually slapped. Forcing kids to read Brave New World, 1984, Fahrenheit 451, Lord of the Flies, or any other iteration of overreaching government slash the evil of man was based as fuck.
Elon says, yeah, at the time I thought teachers were demented to have little kids read Lord of the Flies. I accidentally read Animal Farm when I was maybe 8 or 9 and thought it was a book with talking animals. I kept expecting the story to turn around, but the horse never did come back.
Ben Meligan says, new, ICE confirms to Fox News that all four of the known and suspected Tren de Aragua gang members arrested by police in Aurora, Colorado, in connection to a shooting attempted murder in July are Venezuelan illegal aliens who were caught and released at the Texas border by the Biden administration.
Elon says, we need a secure border. Unless Trump wins, meet your new building managers.
Clay Shirky says institutions will try to preserve the problem to which they are the solution.
Elon said this is why the homeless, more accurately referred to as drug zombies problem, only gets worse with increased funding.
And then Elon posted this meme. Don't let Trump cheat. Demand voter ID and paper ballots. Doge Designer said Grok 2 already exceeds OpenAI's GPT-4 in multiple parameters.
This was with a feeble amount of training compute.
Adrian says X needs to have a built-in meme maker and editor.
Elon says Grok will do it soon.
Elon says, that's how I felt trying to play the xylophone as a kid. Pavel Durov says, thanks everyone for your support and love. Last month, I got interviewed by police for 4 days after arriving in Paris. I was told I may be personally responsible for other people's illegal use of Telegram because the French authorities didn't receive responses from Telegram.
Elon says, it was alarming to see. Glad you're okay.
And he said, at the rate machine intelligence is growing, humans will be less than 1% of intelligence in a few decades. Andrina says, Elon, what do you usually do before going to sleep?
And Elon said, read.
Lex Fridman says, I'm doing a podcast episode on the Roman Empire. It's a deep dive into military conquest, technology, politics, economics, religion, from its rise to its collapse in the West and the East. History really does put everything in perspective.
Elon said, have you read Asimov's Foundation books? They pose an interesting question. If you knew a dark age was coming, what actions would you take to preserve knowledge and minimize the length of the dark age? For humanity, a city on Mars, Terminus. And if you've read the Foundation series, it's good and it's bad. It's makes you think.
All right, time for community mail time. Remember, share your photos, videos, and stories with us at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com.
Community mail time.
Chris sent us these photos of the Los Angeles Parks and Rec Department using Ford Lightnings.
Roger spotted the Cybertruck in Fort Worth, Texas, outside of the Fort Worth Stock Exchange, which is actually their steer exchange.
Rick wrote to share these EV conversion projects. Number one, we converted our regular bikes to e-bikes. Number two, Volkswagen Gas Beetle being converted to 100% EV at Ambler EV. And number three, a Corvair being converted to 100% EV, also at Ambler EV.
And they'll all be on display at the DriveTheFutureEV.com National Drive Electric Week event at Ambler, Pennsylvania on September 28th.
Fabio spotted some of these BYDs starting to pop up around Australia, and he says, I wonder where I saw something similar before. Straight copy of a Porsche Cayenne.
Does look like a Porsche Cayenne, doesn't it?
Kinda.
Glenn in Scotland spotted this Fisker Ocean at the Achnacheen Charger in the Scottish Highlands. Glenn says the owner bought it before they went bust, obviously, loves it, and I gave him details of a traveling EV Hevra mechanic that will service it. He has just about finished the brilliant driving road of the Scottish NC 500, which is the North Coast 500 miles. I want to drive that.
That sounds fun.
Not in a Fisker, but.
Max spotted this rose-wrapped Tesla supercharging in Tucson, Arizona.
Hardik captured the juxtaposition of the Cybertruck against an older F-150 at a Costco near Hillsboro, Oregon. He says it's just amazing.
Vince said, I saw this FedEx truck delivering packages in my neighborhood today and took this photo. It was so strange to see it drive away so quietly.
Yeah, you don't realize how loud trucks are until you actually experience an electric one. Thomas spotted the Cybertruck and VW ID4 supercharging in Monticello, Minnesota while he was supercharging his Model Y.
Lynn shared this olive green wrapped Cybertruck that she spotted in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Now, I know it's a bit hard to see. Maybe the editors can lighten it up a bit because I think it is cool.
But, you know, that New Mexico sun is not doing it any favors.
Chris has a photo update on the construction progress at the Tesla Diner in West Hollywood. So you can see, really cool here, the size and the locations now of the two drive-in movie screens. See that? I kind of feel bad for the apartment building behind the movie screen because they probably had a view before and now that movie screen is just going to completely block it. But maybe every night they'll get to just watch free movies. Now, will this be part of the Robotaxi event on 1010? A lot of people are talking about that. You know, is this going to be like Robotaxis driving in? Will it be built by then?
So we're talking about literally a month from today. Is that going to be done?
It's, yeah, doesn't, it seems unlikely.
Look, I mean, I'm always surprised about construction projects because they get to a point and I'm like, well, I guess they're just never going to finish. And then like
you
put some grass and paint on it and you're like, oh, right. It's done. So I don't know.
Also, our viewer Brent from Hamilton, Ontario, also sent us an update photo of the Tesla Diner from another angle. Yeah, the diner looks like it's getting close.
Nice.
Brian shared this photo of a Model Y art car supercharging in Fernley, Nevada.
Daniel spotted this orange-wrapped Tesla in Reedley, California. Looks really good in orange.
I know, doesn't it? Yuri spotted this black-wrapped Cybertruck in San Francisco. Now, I don't think that's Shaq's because I think Shaq had different wheels.
Rav visited the Rolls-Royce dealership in Vancouver. How about a Spectre?
Ooh, that sounds good.
Two motors, 430 kilowatts, mm-hmm. and it's only $780,000.
So you could buy like 8 Cybertrucks. So let's play What's in the Hummer pickup truck? What do you think is in the back?
Nothing. I've never seen one with anything in the back.
Well, there is something in the back. James says it's loaded down with a half ton of deer corn from Wybell Ranch Supply in Borney, Texas. Not affected at all.
Wow. That's
until the deer attack you.
Is that what deer corn is? I don't know what deer corn is. Cool to see it being used as a pickup truck.
I know.
Yeah. Harold spotted this lime green Tesla near Bamberg, Germany.
Emil spotted the Cybertruck in Elora, Ontario, Canada. He says it looks amazing in person.
Bob spotted this Model Y with the Aero roof trunk supercharging in North Branch, Minnesota.
And Hector spotted this shiny Cybertruck on St. Augustine Beach in Florida last week. I guess they buffed that one, huh?
Nice. That's cool.
All right, it's time for the EV tip of the week. And a lot of people write in wanting Tesla superchargers in their certain locations of the world.
Now, while we don't have a direct line to Elon or the decision makers at the supercharger team, don't forget about the Tesla supercharger voting site.
Yeah, we'll put the link down below. It's a great way to get support from the community for your location. So you put in a location, even if no one's put one in before at that spot, and then other people can be like, oh yeah, that's a good spot, and vote it up.
And I will put this out there. If you have what you think to be a good location, why don't you make a video contributor story for us? Mm. You know, use some maps, show the location,
use some
talk
data.
About it, do some data, say why this location, and you might have some people voting with you on your proposed location.
All right. And so for beautiful superchargers this week, remember, send them in to us. We've got Caroline with her beautiful supercharger.
I am at the Parachute, Colorado supercharger. There is 12 stalls. at this charger. And unfortunately, PlugShare says there's one CCS and one Tesla charger. What the heck? Anyways, I am near a gas station and Sinclair. It's about to rain, but I feel like this would be the most beautiful supercharger because we are near Palisade, Colorado. Happy travels, everyone.
And Caroline spotted a matte green Tesla, too.
Thanks, Caroline. All right, it's time for supercharger reviews. So let's see what people have found out there in the world.
Hi, Zach and Jesse. This is Scott at the new version 3 Tesla supercharger installation in Falmouth, Maine. Right off exit 53 of the Maine Turnpike, Interstate 95. It's at a Hannaford supermarket. There are 8 version 3 chargers on the right end of the building. Bathrooms are conveniently located just inside the nearest entrance on the right. Store is open 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 9 p.m. on Sunday. It's a very convenient location if you're heading north on the main turnpike, heading up to Bangor, to go down to Bar Harbor, go to Acadia National Park. There is a Dunkin' Donuts close by. There's also a bar, yoga studio, karate studio, a couple other amenities in this strip mall. I'm going to give this one a 5 out of 10 on the new scale and an 8 out of 10 on the traditional scale. Now you know.
Hey guys, Greg in Pennsylvania here. In the Downingtown Supercharger, got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 stalls. I believe they're V3. We are at a Royal Farms. This is the only thing here that's within any reasonable walking distance, but you can get some food, drinks, restroom. Get us off the Route 30 bypass. Just off the exit, right in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. I have my trailer here on my Model 3. There is no pull-in spot. Just checking it out today. Don't need to charge. Just passing through. Now you know.
I forgot the score. 4 out of 10 just for proximity to the exit and the amenities. And this should be open 24/7. But that's all. Nothing else special here.
Hey, Zach and Jesse, this is Kevin from Illinois reporting from the Two Brothers Roundhouse, brewery, restaurant, distillery, and event center. At this location is 4 Tesla destination chargers. And what do we have here? But a GM Bolt charging at one of them. Two Brothers Roundhouse is located inside a historic train roundhouse here in Aurora, Illinois, right next to the Metro line. So I would rate this a 9 out of 10 as far as a great destination for food, drink, and charging your Tesla or Bolt. Now you know.
Hello, Zach and Jesse. This is Alejandro reporting to you from Miami, Florida, with a brand new, recently opened, I think less than a week ago, supercharger. This is a 12-stall, 250-kilowatt supercharger. It is located in Southwest 40th Street and 69th Southwest Avenue. It is about a mile away from the highway or less. It has a Wendy's across the parking lot over there. It has 3 stalls that are going to be very convenient for backing up with a trailer like that, and another one on this other side. And even 3 of these superchargers have not yet been activated. So this is, you know, really fresh off the press news. And I would give this a 6 out of 10. Now you know.
Thank you so much, everybody. And remember, go to our map on nowyouknowchannel.com. And you will see that there's a lot of supercharger icons. Some have a little green movie studio icon, and that means like it's been reviewed and you can review it again. But a lot of them don't have that icon, which means no one's reviewed it yet. So look in your area that you're going to be in and then go to one and film the review. We'd love to have it. All right. What do we got for new superchargers, Jess?
We have number 101 in Australia is the four stall in Bright, Victoria, Australia.
We got number 79 in New Jersey, the 12 stall in Ocean View, New Jersey.
Number 16 in New Hampshire is the 12 stall in Dover.
We got number 223 in Canada, the 12 stall version 4 in Kananaskis, Alberta, Canada.
Number 2,100 in China is the 3 stall in Nantong.
Number 10 in Iceland is the 20 stall version 4 in Keflavik, Iceland.
That's where the airport is.
Oh.
The 20 stall version 4 in Carson in California.
Number 169 in Texas is the 16 stall in San Antonio.
And number 489 in California, number 2,378 in the United States, and number 6,611 in the world is the 28 stall version 4 in Buena Park at Knott Ave in California. And thank you so much for joining us this week. Thank you so much for watching all the way to the end. If you have watched all the way to the end and you haven't hit the like button, we've given you the whole show to do it. We'd really appreciate it if you hit the like button.
Yeah, it helps the algorithm to share it more.
It's so stupid. This is like 1980s level of like, we'll put a button and if people like it, then they'll hit it. And it's like, I don't know where they came up with this idea. Obviously, you've watched an hour of the show. So
maybe they think you're sleeping.
You're either asleep.
Wake up.
Wake up. Or you watch the whole thing and you liked it. So I don't know why you have to hit a button, but please do. It's been kind of tough these past few months seeing the numbers come in. We haven't really changed too much about the show in terms of the way that we do the show. Lots has changed in the world, obviously, but we just wanted to let you know that we value consistency over pretty much everything else when we're doing Tesla Time News. And we can't do that consistency without our amazing, consistent Patreon patrons that you're seeing scrolling past here.
Also, let us know down in the comments if you like the fact that there's less commercial breaks. I mean, I know most people do, but some of you are probably using like YouTube Premium, so you don't notice. But I mean, there were just way too many before. And I just want to let everyone know that was YouTube. They just go like, you want to put a million ads on, right? And we had to we have to manually take them off. Every week because it's just outrageous. It's too many.
Every 8 minutes is what we found is what people can hardly tolerate.
Yeah.
And we'll, you can skip it, even though we'll put two ads and one of them will be unskippable. It's horrible.
But it means that we just get less ad revenue from YouTube. So it's not in our best interest to do it, but we want to do it because that's not a fun way to watch the show.
Yeah. So anyway, and I'm sorry because I've been watching the show. I have YouTube Premium because I watch a lot of YouTube. And, if you want to do YouTube Premium, you can. I'm not getting paid to advertise YouTube, so I'm not going to tell you to use it. But that's why we hadn't been seeing the ads, because we'd watched Tesla Time News without the ads because we pay for the premium. We hadn't realized that it had gotten so horrible because YouTube had made a change without telling us.
Yep.
And it's just really annoying that we have to be fighting this thing that enables our content to get to your eyeballs every week. This is why we like Patreon so much. It's where we have a lot more control over the content. We can put jokes and stories in there. We can put video in there that we normally can't put on YouTube, not because it's racy or anything. It's just because it will have like half of a second of a song or a little clip of a news article. And normally, we've been losing monetization over stupid stuff like that. It's really put a lot of strain on our editing team to have to like pre-release the show and see if YouTube has any objections to it before we put it out. And that level of censorship has really been hurting us. It's been adding a lot of strife to putting out what used to be a pretty simple show to do. Simple is a relative term. But anyway, thank you so much for watching and supporting us. We will see you guys next week. Now you know.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
Save big on your next project right now at Menards. Save time on your paint project With help from Duck Clean Release Painter's Tape. Use on walls, trim, glass, wood, or metal for clean removal and clean paint lines every time. Save big and get a 3-pack of Duck Clean Release Painter's Tape on sale now through September 22nd. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save